The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline, and I'm sure by now you have our brand new, updated, free Into Tomorrow app, because you can not only participate that way, but we provide some tech news for you, of course, and of course, links to all of our recent shows and videos and all sorts of things. Just search those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow, and get it for your iPhone or your iPad or for your Android phone or Android tablet. And be sure to participate with us. We'd love it. Oh, and I would personally love it if you would consider giving us 5 stars, maybe, and perhaps even a little rating of any sort, whatever moves you, that would warm the cockles of my heart. So just get the Into Tomorrow app, and we'd love it. Joining us now is a sobriety coach, mentor, and public speaker whose goal is to reduce the stigmas around addiction, including, of course, which is why we have him on the tech show, tech addictions. Kevin Sullivan, welcome into Tomorrow, Kevin. How are you?
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. Good to be here. I guess you're sitting in your big chair. I'm sitting in my big chair, so we're ready to go.
Very good. Oh, yes. Yeah, we have a little recording before
you
guests join us that Dave's en route to the studio to sit in the big chair or something like that. It's like, I never hear that, obviously, but very cool. Tell me, what's your take these days on tech addiction? It's something that we've been talking a lot about on this show the last couple of years, and certainly more so more recently, as more and more people are saying, gee, if only I could stop with this anti-social media, as one example, right?
Well, it's so interesting. I just remember as a kid, you know, I'd come home and there'd be nobody in the house and the TV was on, and I'd ask my mom, well, why is the TV on and nobody's here? She said, I just needed some company.
Oh, wow. Oh.
You know, I just needed to, you know, I just need to feel like I, you know, wasn't by myself.
Yeah.
You know? And so I remember that, and, you know, as of course technology progresses, and now we've got it on a watch on my wrist and, you know, all this other stuff. But I was on a flight, Dave, just coming back from Phoenix the other night, and there was a gentleman sitting right next to me, and I'm not sure what game he was playing on his phone. I had to get up to use the restroom, and I waved my hand in front of his face, you know, and I had to do that 3 or 4 times, and then I finally had to touch him on the shoulder to get him to see me.
Oh, geez.
And it kind of, I went, wow. but the thing is, people will be talking to me when I'm either on my computer or looking at my cell phone or doing something else, and I find myself behaving the same way this gentleman did. And that, to me, was, that's a difficult thing to, like, cop to that. You know,
I'm driving
down the street complaining about everybody else on their cell phones
while
they're driving. But when I'm in a stoplight, I catch myself doing the same thing I'm complaining about.
And, Kevin, it's as if we've lost our peripheral vision even when we're staring at our phone. Because, as you mentioned, on the plane, you try to get his attention. Excuse me, I need to go use the restroom. And until you touch him, and, of course, that's always a problem these days. Don't touch me, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what to expect. But it's like, what I'm trying to get your attention, and you're so engrossed in what you're doing, be it a game or anything else, that I had to touch you. It was the only way, or else just trip over you. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, Dave. I mean, in some ways, it's like I really loved reading Dr. Eyal's article, because he does point to some things that are valid, and they're, you know, they're hard to argue with the logical mind. you know, talking about, you know, for example, when it comes to, like, you know, Facebook and Instagram and these other things, I mean, you know, how we all engaged in this and what is the issue? What is it about Kevin that makes it so uncomfortable to just be quiet?
Yeah, you know? And I assume you're talking about Silicon Valley author Nair Eyal, who's selling
yes.
the cure for screen addiction while at the same time avoiding his role in making apps addictive, which
yeah.
is, you know, kind of counterproductive, it seems.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, I own some restaurants and we sold pizza, and it's like, you know, if you buy three of them, I mean, that's good for me and I'm glad you did it, but I'm not sure that's so healthy for you.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I could hide behind, hey, we're helping kids and everybody, you know. But the whole thing is, you know, if we look at addiction and it's, you know, whatever the primary language a lot of people would think of other than technology, you know. They might think, you know, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, you know, any one of a myriad of behaviors, and we can go into shopping or, but then we get into this online technology thing. What am I doing in public with my devices versus what am I doing when I'm on my own privately? And then we start talking about, you know, children and pornography and other behaviors that it might be secretive that I may be ashamed of, and I don't know how to talk to anybody about these things. And I create this whole illusion that I'm in the world as I'm just so isolated.
Well, as a sobriety and addiction, for that matter, coach, what is tech addiction in your opinion? I mean, how do you look at it to describe to our audience, which, of course, mostly skews to folks who are obviously into technology or want to learn more about it? How do you describe what tech addiction is?
Well, it's interesting. Maybe I'll use an analogy. For me, it might have been alcohol or something else. But now, as I look at myself involved in tech addiction, you know, there are certain things like, you know, I keep my calendar in my phone of you know, what I've got to do today. And I keep it pretty tight. There's not a lot of space in between each one of those spaces. And that's wonderful. I mean, that I need that, and it helps me, and it makes me efficient with my time. The space in between, I notice I'll begin to slide in, oh, let me see what's going on with the election. And then I'll get all cut up and I have opinions. Let me put my opinion on Facebook, or let me do this, or let me do that. And I have this false sense of reality. I make a statement and 40 people are going to respond to it. So I must be important today. Everybody's concerned about what Kevin thinks or has to say about something.
Yeah. Or are they? Because if you don't get enough likes or responses or otherwise, then that's part of that tech addiction that a lot of people are sharing with us that they suffer. Because, isn't it all about the likes? No, of course not.
And I've actually made a comment about something. I'm like, oh, I didn't get enough likes on that. Let me just remove that like it never happened.
Yeah.
You know, and
then to avoid embarrassment, it's like, really? Only four people liked that post? You know, nobody follows him? You know?
So, you know, I mean, in the world, I want to present a certain image, and then maybe that's not in reality what's going on. And it'd be, you know, so when I think about addiction or some people call like an obsession, you know, when I look at obsession, it's kind of a thought or an idea that will continually preoccupy or intrude in my mind. It'll just intrude and come out of nowhere going, how all of a sudden did I just get caught up in this wave of 2 hours of something that I wasn't scheduled to be doing.
Yes, no, and I love, Kevin, that analogy of obsession, because it sounds like, especially I think as it relates to what I've begun calling anti-social media, that it seems to be the same as an addiction when we find, as you hit the nail on the head, it's like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for an hour and a half? You know, it's like, that's an hour and a half I'll never get back, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, versus sitting down and here you and I are having a conversation, which is such a better use of my time because I'm really touching voices and having a human connection with another person. And where does that go? And, you know, relationships and friendships developed at last lifetimes. And I can delude myself into believing that this is what's actually going on when I'm playing around inside the framework of social media, when in fact these people have never met me, they don't really know me, they don't go to bed think about, oh, I wonder how Kevin's doing today or how his day was, or let me check on him. They're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I imagine that maybe they might be, but that's not reality.
No, of course, and you hope that they might be concerned, but again, not reality, just like you don't know that I'm not a bot. Exactly. Although they haven't done that yet with the talk show host to be able to have this kind of a conversation, you know, artificial intelligence-wise, although some people might debate that. Are tech companies, Kevin, do you think, to blame for this? Because they, of course, are you know, unlike the Into Tomorrow app, it's not addictive, I promise. It's not an obsession, although it is for me to promote it. But the a lot of apps, of course, are designed for you to have to come back again and again and again. And the tech companies that want you back on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, sure. God forbid you should miss anything, right?
Yeah. You know, this is interesting. Are they to blame? And where is their, you know, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, I mean, I don't want, for example, you know, I'm not really interested in having a young child be viewing things that maybe their mom and dad aren't aware of what's going on back there when they say, hey, I'm just gaming with my friends. Is that what you're really doing? I don't know what you're really doing back there.
Yeah.
Are you framing a new model for how you look at your relationships with young men and young women or the world or your intimate connections with other people by viewing pornography and we don't know and you're too ashamed to say, hey, what's this? You know, is that going on? You know, because maybe you just had a question, are you 18, and all you had to do was click the box, but you're really 12.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there are some parameters that we could, you know, put up there that maybe, you know, kind of construct a model that is, you know, a little bit more able to police some of that stuff. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, you know, if a tech companies starting out, they're like, hey, we need eyeballs, we need marketing, and you know, our product is something that can be utilized in different ways where, you know, maybe there's an app called Brain HQ and it enables you to think more swiftly on your feet and consider and perceive things in a more efficient way. That's excellent. Or maybe there's a meditation app or, you know, certain TED Talks that I might like to listen to where, hey, I don't have to go to Pace University and actually sit in front of Bobby Kennedy teaching his form of law up there. I can sit here and watch, you know, study what he's doing from where I'm sitting. So I love all that stuff,
sure.
You know. But where do I cross over into these other spaces where I become secretive and these other things? And I, you know, it's just, it's an interesting discussion. And, you know, anytime there's light in the world or money to be made, we're going to have other people come in and, I guess, for lack of a better expression, maybe vulturize some of the behavior that maybe started out to be intentionally good or safe, and all of a sudden some shiny thing flies across the screen and go, oh, let me check this out.
Yeah. So while I think I'm hearing you say that, yeah, to some degree, certainly tech companies are to blame, users are also at fault for spending so much time on our devices that feeds that blame of the tech companies.
Yeah, and the idea is to get me caught up. I mean, that's the whole idea, which is, you know, what is profitable. Let's get me caught up in whatever, either whatever team I'm watching or whatever my spiritual or political beliefs are. Let me get going in there and let me, whatever the news cycle keeps me focused on, oh my gosh, this is horrible, this is terrible, or this is amazing, and let me spin off in that way. But it's like it just is designed to keep me there. And the interesting thing is when we cross over to the language I think we were using in the beginning, where do we cross over and have an addictive pattern? And so a lot of times in that space, Dave, I don't even realize I've passed into that space.
Yeah.
I don't even know it.
That's a good point. We don't. And
as
I say, all of a sudden, we've taken up so much time, and oh my gosh, you know, we weren't at all productive. Maybe we learned something. Maybe we just got frustrated with other posts, or who knows. But what do you think, Kevin, should be done moving forward? Can we address these tech addictions? I think the easy answer, people say, yeah, just don't pick up your phone. Oh, come on.
Right.
But that's not realistic in this day and age either.
You know, I think it would be realistic for somebody that can see, geez, you know what? If I, and I think Dr. Isle made some great points. It's like I have my phone on silent most of the day because if I don't, I won't get anything else done.
Mm.
And I'll set a little alarm in my phone that says, okay, at noon, check your messages. At 3 o'clock, check your messages. At 7 o'clock, check your messages. You know, how often do I go into my email? Every 17 minutes? Or do I think enough about my schedule and my time and my day and your time and your schedule and your day to use my time efficiently? But when I've crossed into that other space where I'm addicted, I cannot get myself out of that place. And I think that's the big misunderstanding going, hey, you know, Dave, just stop doing that. But I'm so in it that I cannot physically, the behavior has gone on so many times. You know, so if we think about maybe somebody that's smoking cigarettes or somebody that buys too many pair of shoes, it's like, I already have like 17,000 pair of shoes, yeah. But you know what, hey.
How many more you know do what? I need?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't understand that's what I'm doing, so there needs to be a lot of times a pattern that needs to be interrupted, and that's not something that the, for example, if we're talking about in a medical model, that the patient is going to interrupt themselves because they're in it.
Yeah.
So the community around that person may say, hey, Kevin, you know, you do realize that, like, the whole time we were eating dinner, you weren't even with us.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, that's a whole other discussion, and yeah. We're flat out of time, but I definitely want to get you back. You
Thank
are
you,
not
Dave.
Only fun to talk to, but you shed some light on very interesting things. And Kevin Sullivan, sobriety coach and Silicon Valley author, stay in touch with us. Let us know when your next book comes out, and we'll certainly do a follow-up with you because there is so much more to talk about.
Thanks so much, Dave. I'll leave my info there, and we can keep in touch, man. I appreciate it so much.
By all means, intotomorrow.com for more. We'll meet you there. I'm Dave Graveline on the Advanced Media Network.